You were quoted in the Albuquerque Journal that you don't want to be considered a lame duck during your last year, and especially in the upcoming legislative session. What are you doing to reach out with legislative leaders?
Well, I'm sending a message that we've got to have a cooperative solution to this budget deficit that we have. We have to work together. We have to be bipartisan. Just today, I've had meetings with Senator John Arthur Smith, who chairs the Finance Committee, and Kiki Saavedra, representative, who chairs Appropriations, just to get a general view on what the House and Senate are thinking. I've proposed a budget which I believe makes sense, that balances the budget, that also contains some revenue options, that contains cuts, 3% across the board cuts, that does away with any future double dipping, that also freezes, eliminates about $150 million in capital outlay, continues us not filling positions at state government over 1,000. So I think my proposal is a good one. It's sensible. But we got to work it out together. And this is my last session. I'm not going to be a lame duck. I'm going to be active as ever. They shouldn't think of me as a lame duck. But it takes that kind of dialogue, and I'm ready to do it. And I'm ready to neither one of us should have a blank check, and this is what we're going to try to come up with a bipartisan solution, and hopefully we can do it.
What political capital do you have left to spend then in able to accomplish those bipartisan goals?
I'm in my eighth year. Political capital, I'm still going to be around. I have the veto pen. I've got good support, I believe, from constituents that want to continue the progress we've made in transportation and the new economy and bringing jobs. Traditionally, New Mexico governors, their last year, are treated as lame ducks. Now, I think it would be a mistake to treat me that way. I just want to work with them, but I'm going to be very active my last year. One, trying to bring more jobs to the state, recruiting businesses. We've had one very good announcement last week in Santa Teresa and Las Cruces on wind turbines. We're going to make more announcements in January. I'm going to continue dealing with this budget shortfall because it's going to be a year-round procedure. I'm going to continue improving education, dealing with the dropout rate. I'm going to try also to continue our progress on DWI, on domestic violence. I'm going to propose a domestic partners bill in the session, ban cell phones when driving. That's really dangerous. Help auto dealers, some green energy initiatives. So this is going to take a whole year. It's not just going to be during the session, but we're going to have a strong legislative non-budget proposals for the session.
And will it be hard to attract businesses here if one of the taxes that are being considered as this rollback of the loophole in corporate taxes?
Well, I think we have to be very careful that we are a pro-business state. We've changed the image of the state nationally and internationally. This is why the renewable energy companies have come, why movie companies and movies have come, why Hewlett-Packard and Schott Solar and Fidelity have moved a good part of their headquarters in New Mexico. We can't be anti-business. This is why I don't want to roll back the decrease that I had in personal income taxes, in capital gains, the tax incentives to bring businesses that, for instance, those taxes that if you pay over the prevailing wage, you get a tax incentive. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater because they've worked, and let's we're going to probably need to find some revenues, and I want to negotiate with the legislature, but I don't think it should come on the backs of families and individuals and businesses that are creating jobs.
But then you talked about helping auto dealers, and one of the revenue enhancements is an additional 3% excise fees on new car sales.
Well, you know, I'm not keen on tax increases. I've been a governor that's lowered taxes by $1 billion. $1 billion. We've either turned money back to the taxpayer in rebates or tax cuts. I don't like that tax. We're going to have to do something. Now, what I've said I want to do with auto dealers is they have had some relationship problems with the big manufacturers. And what this bill does is it strengthens their capacity and their ability to make investment decisions, internal decisions, helps them out because they took a big beating. A lot of them closed down in New Mexico, and I want to help the smaller auto dealers at the expense of, the big manufacturers that I think may have taken advantage of.
Just last week, you introduced a plan that includes $200 million in temporary taxes. Some of the people that I've been talking to don't know what a temporary tax is. They said that they've seen temporary tax cuts. How are you defining a temporary tax, and what economic situation and level of recovery, rather, would end those temporary taxes?
What I am going to say is that a temporary tax, what I'm defining as a temporary tax, is no more than 3 years, period. You can't define conditions for taking them off. They're usually excused for it not to come off. So it comes off after 3 years. If legislators want to renew them, they can vote for them in 3 years again or get rid of them. I don't like taxes, and what I would like to see is taxes that don't harm jobs and growth and individuals. Maybe there's a tobacco tax or a soft drink tax or something that might work, but our budget deficit is about $500 million, and we've got to have sensible, balanced cuts so that services stay with constituents. I don't like to cut teacher pay. That's one of the proposals of the LFC. I'm not for that. I'm not for cutting furloughs. We have to do five, which we compared to other states. We're doing, I think, very well in terms of the pain we've inflicted on services and individuals and job losses. So I'm trying to do my best.
And it's the LFC and that $500 million deficit. A lot of folks said that it's the administration's spending, and they point to a 2005 Legislative Finance Committee report that warned that if spending wasn't curbed back in 2005, we might be in this very situation. Do you have any regrets?
No. Look, the reason we've had economic problems in New Mexico, it's national, it's the recession. And we've done a lot better than other states because we have a strong economy. And look, I've kept reserves for the state, rainy day funds, at about 10%. I've given $1 billion in tax cuts to individuals and businesses, mainly to individuals. We've invested about $1 billion in education. That's good. It's not as if this money just goes to bloated state government. That's not the case. It's gone to the space boards. It's gone to the rail runner. It's gotten to future investments that the state needs. And at the same time, we've cut taxes by $1 billion. Under Bill Richardson, taxes have never been raised.
Speaking of education, educators were trimmed last year, and many of them were able to keep it away from the classroom. They fear any additional cuts in the next 30 days will have a drastic impact on classrooms. And you've been the education governor. I know that's your key legacy item. What is going to happen in the next 30 days to protect educators?
Well, I want to continue to protect education. I'm not going to draw any lines in the sand, but what I've said before, I don't want classroom spending cut. I don't want teacher pay cut. You know, maybe there's some administrative expenses. I think Senator Smith's committee has done a very good job of exposing some wasteful situations in some school districts. Clean up that waste, but don't take it out of kids and classrooms and advanced programs and curriculum. Take it out of some of the fat, and maybe there is some, but not out of teachers and educational employees. We've worked so hard to increase their pay. We used to be one of the last in the country. We're about the middle now in teacher pay. I want to keep that, because that teacher pay is something that I think promotes stronger education for our state.
I don't want to break the rhythm of the interview, but I want to go back and touch on something that I should have followed up earlier, and that is you have a very interesting proposal to rebuild cash reserves by changing the way that we do those sponge bonds. And how much money do you think that can generate for the cash reserves?
Well, from $100 to $150 billion. This is it's very complicated to explain, but it involves our bonding capacity. It involves our ability to use capital outlay, severance tax bonds more efficiently. We have to reform our capital outlay process because there's several $1 billion, maybe as much as one at least, of capital outlay projects that are not spent, infrastructure that is not being handled efficiently. I want to be able to use that to increase our bonding capacity. The good news is that we have, because of our cash reserves and our budget balancing policy, our bond rating is very strong, and I don't want that to weaken.
And we only have about 4 minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about double dipping. I know that it saves millions of dollars, and last year you supported it. At the end, you vetoed it because you thought that from legal counsel advice that it wouldn't pass legal muster. What's different in the proposals that you're seeing this year that will get over that legal challenge?
Well, I do think double dipping, there have been some excesses, and I want to keep the morale of state employees strong. What I am saying is let's eliminate any future double dipping, any future double dippers, because it is a drain on the Treasury. It's some say $6 million. My people say it's more $4 million. What I vetoed before was the legality of a proposal that went back and said, we're going to take the money away. We're going to eliminate all the double dippers that were operating within the law. And so I think that's wrong. But any future double dipping, I think we have to take a look at, and I'm going to propose that we eliminate it.
With your career in the Congress, here in the Roundhouse, and then, of course, also with the Clinton cabinet, are you going to be a triple dipper and come back and serve the state?
No, you know, I'm going to finish my term. I'm going to take some time off. You know, I've honestly said I want to visit every Major League Baseball park and see for myself, and then in my own mind say, this is the best park. I haven't seen the new Yankee Stadium. You know, I haven't even seen every park around our region here. I haven't seen the new Arizona park. I need a little time to decompress after I leave office. I have no desire to go back to Washington.
And, you know, there's plenty of places to hunt and fish here, which raises another issue. Pat Lyons has told us he's trying to solve a problem that exists at White Peaks for 30, 40 years, the checkerboarded land, trespassing vandalism, poor access of roads. I've been following the story closely. Is there any money or process to do an emergency appropriation to, rather than trade the land, maybe buy the rancher's land and save that area?
Well, I think it's very tough to get an appropriation through right now the legislature. I'm going to propose a land conservation fund so that we can buy some very good environmentally sound land. It's going to have difficulty passing. I worry about legislation that the land commissioner, who I like, by the way, is proposing. I think there has to be more public input. I worry that it's too private sector oriented. I don't want to limit the access to hunting and fishing to so many New Mexicans in the northern part of the state. So I just think we have to fully debate that issue.
There are senators and legislators that are saying that the land office needs more legislative oversight, and there are others that have been calling for a constitutional convention, maybe around the centennial celebration of the state in 2012. Do you think that the land commissioner's power needs to be reviewed in a potential constitutional convention?
Well, I'm not sure. Some legislators have spoken to me about maybe having these land swaps reviewed and there be more public input and some kind of oversight over them. I'd want to study that. I'd want to talk to Commissioner Lyons about that. I don't support this initiative he has, but at the same time, you know, I believe in a strong executive branch. Legislators appropriate, they set policy, but I think the executive branch has to have some flexibility. But again, what I would have done differently is consulted more farmers and ranchers and people in northern New Mexico. And, you know, they've had reservations about this plan for some time. And I pay a lot more attention to what's happening on the ground. But I think Pat Lyons has taken some steps that I've agreed with. He's a hunter like I am, but I think you gotta really make sure that the public is involved in decisions like this.
You've been to all the big network studios and all the big network shows. As we end the interview today, I'll repeat a question I love that they ask. Tell me something I don't know.
Well, that Bill Richardson loves KOB. I love radio. You know, I really hope that in this new internet age and these age of these big-time talk shows, that the local radio, that local newspapers, that weeklies are not weakened. I know everyone's getting their news through Facebook and blogs, and I just think that what we're doing here is very important in communicating. A lot of people listen to the radio. And and I just think it's very important that we not lose sight of the traditional mediums that have existed and worked for our democracy in the past.
So you say you support journalism for the public good?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And speaking of blogs, you're not shy from blogging. During this special session, you revisited your blog. Are you going to be? Are we going to be able to read a lot of communication out of your office during the legislative session on your blog?
Yes, we are. We're going to Twitter. We got Facebook going. I got to stay up to speed. I have a very good staff that helps me with it. That's a confession I'm making. But yeah, absolutely. We're going to see me very active this session. It's my last, but that doesn't mean after the session I'm going to fade. I'm going to go around the state just concentrating on creating jobs, on clean energy issues, on education, and making our state better.
And you're wearing a tie with the California Bear on it. Does Mrs. Richardson want to maybe make a move to California at the end of your term?
No, we're going to stay here. We're staying here. This is, a tie that Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me. And it's actually a nice tie, so that's why I'm wearing it.
It is a great tie. If we have time, Caitlin, for one more. He was on Meet the Press yesterday and talked about how the deal that was made with Ben Nelson in Nebraska is unfair, that Californians have to pay for that deal. Are you in a similar situation here, and is New Mexico having to find its own deals?
Well, we've had great leadership from Senator Bingaman and Udall and the House guys, our three new members of the delegation. So I think the health care bill national is going to be good for the state. They haven't settled on some of the Medicaid provisions. I don't want the state, when it's when we're paying for this new share that involves everybody, to get hurt, because we are basically a poor state. I've increased Medicaid as much as I can. So I want to see the final details. But yeah, was I a little jealous of Nebraska? They got $300 million. And that's because they held off on saying, the Senator Nelson, whether he's going to support it, that it would take $300 million. That doesn't look good. I wasn't terribly pleased with that.
Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Peter.